I'm Kevin, and I like to podcast like this. And I like to podcast like this.
Don't act like you're not impressed. Hello. Welcome to Movie Battle. Each episode, superfans battle it out to decide which movie is best. Here's your host, Kevin Armstrong. What is up, party people? Welcome to Movie Battle. I'm your host, Kevin Armstrong. This is episode 6, Step Brothers vs. Anchorman. This is going to be a very fun episode, and we're going to bring the superfans out real soon. But first, here's some facts and tidbits. Step Brothers was directed by Adam McKay, produced by Jimmy Miller and Judd Apatow. The screenplay was by Adam McKay, Will Ferrell, and the story was by Will Ferrell, Adam McKay, and John C. Reilly. Anchorman was also directed by Adam McKay and produced by Judd Apatow, as well as written by Will Ferrell and Adam McKay. That is the reason for the battle. I know some people might think, well, hey, what about Step Brothers and Talladega Nights? You know, same cast, same crew and everything. That is true. I just felt like these are also directed by the same teams and written by the same teams. And I just think these are the two best and most quotable Will Ferrell movies, possibly the two most quotable movies of the last 20 years in general, thus the battle. Speaking of the casts, Step Brothers, of course, stars Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, Richard Jenkins, Mary Steenburgen, Adam Scott, and Katherine Hahn. Anchorman, also Will Ferrell, with Christina Applegate, Paul Rudd, Steve Carell, David Koechner, Fred Willard, and some great cameos like Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller, Tim Robbins, and even Jack Black gets in there. Step Brothers was released July 25th, 2008, with a budget of $65 million, it grossed $128.1 million at the box office. Anchorman was released July 9th, 2004, with a budget of $26 million and a box office of $90.6 million. Step Brothers has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 55%. Their critical consensus: Step Brothers indulges in a cheerfully relentless immaturity that will quickly turn off viewers unamused by Ferrell and Reilly and delight those who find their antics hilarious. Rotten Tomatoes for Anchorman is 66%. Their consensus is it's filled with inspired silliness and quotable lines. Anchorman isn't the most consistent comedy in the world, but Will Ferrell's buffoonish central performances help keep this portrait of a clueless newsman from going off the rails. Roger Ebert gave Step Brothers 1.5 out of 4 stars and can be quoted as, "When did comedies get so mean? Step Brothers has a premise that might have produced a good time at the movies, but when I left, I felt a little unclean." So, very successful films, very, maybe not the most critically acclaimed, but even those that don't love it have to admit that it is, you know, both movies are hilarious. Some interesting facts for Anchorman. While they were both working on Saturday Night Live, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay were working on a script titled August Blowout, which would be described as a cross between Glengarry Glen Ross. Basically, it was like Glengarry Glen Ross meets a car dealership. That never got made, but Will saw an interview with a 70s Anchorman, and he couldn't believe how sexist they were. And the tone of the guy's voice just you know, resonated with him, and they got to work. An early version of the script was a parody of the disaster movie Alive, and Ron Burgundy crashes a plane with a group of news people, and they have to survive wilderness and make their way back to civilization. Part of that included dealing with a group of ninja-wielding orangutans, and there was also a musical number with sharks. They made some adjustments to that script. The physical appearance of Ron Burgundy is said to have been based on Harold Green, who was an anchor person in the San Diego and Southern California area for KCST-TV and KGTV back in the mid-70s and early 80s. Mort Krim, who was a popular anchor in both the Detroit and Philadelphia markets, claims to be the true inspiration, and the inspiration for Veronica Corningstone was Krim's colleague Jessica Savage, who would go on to have a very successful career with NBC News. Now, Step Brothers, when Will Ferrell and Riley and McKay were on the set of Talladega Nights, they weren't kind of sure what to do next, but they wanted to do something. And McKay just said, hey, I don't know what we're going to do, but I just have an image of you two in bunk beds. That probably one of the funniest scenes in the movie. And as they were looking for, you know, more space to do activities, I actually used that line in my wedding vows, having the more space to do activities. So that's definitely a personal favorite of mine. And they just began writing, and according to The Ringer has a great oral history on Step Brothers, and according to that, Adam McKay, when he was younger, at 12 years old, a friend of his just threatened a grown-up, and the grown-up backed off, and he was just blown away by that. And, you know, that's obviously, you know, is reenacted as the famous playground scene and the dog poop eating. Will Ferrell said after college he lived with his parents for 3 years, and he had a very patient mother. So, I mean, there's the basic premise right there. And John C. Reilly had a great story of touching his brother's drum set. So it's amazing how when, you know, talented people just get to work and, you know, just start bouncing ideas off of one another, how something can just come together and and just, you know, create comedic history. One other fact about Step Brothers, the Catalina wine mixer actually never existed before or during the film, but it does now. So there were talks in 2014 of a sequel for Step Brothers, where both Dale and Brennan would be more mature and have jobs and families and stuff, and something would happen, of course, you know, bringing them back to where they were before. But as of February 2017, according to Rolling Stone magazine, Will Ferrell said there was no plans for sequels. Anchorman obviously did have a sequel. Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues, was released December 18th, 2013. There's also an alternate version of Anchorman titled Wake Up, Ron Burgundy, that was a straight-to-DVD release, and this was made up of outtakes and abandoned subplots. So both of these movies continue to live on, and after this brief moment, we're going to bring out the superfans and get down to it. Stick around. Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our first guest is Jen Castellano. Jen is originally from Albany, New York, and is a graduate of the University at Albany, SUNY. Jen loves gymnastics, music, concerts, traveling, hiking, weather, and the office. She currently resides in Raleigh, North Carolina, with her husband Brian and Instagram famous cat Glenn. She works for Heirloom Advisors. Jen, welcome to Movie Battle.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Jen, how would your parents describe what you do for a living?
Well, this is pretty embarrassing because I've been doing what I've been doing for about 3 years, and I still don't think they fully comprehend what I do every day, but I think mostly they would say that I handle rich people's money. I invest large sums of it on a regular basis.
So basically you're a stockbroker.
Basically. I don't think they understand really the whole retirement planning aspect of it, but you know, it is kind of a complicated thing to explain to somebody who doesn't, you know, do it ever, let alone on a daily basis.
There you go. Yeah, that's very understandable. Jen, if they made a movie about your life, who plays you?
This might be a lame answer, but I would want to play myself because I think that I play me the best that anybody could possibly play me.
Interesting. Do you have any experience in theater or comedy, drama?
I do not, but I have a lot of experience playing me.
There you go. Well,
I think that qualifies me.
I think that would be the ultimate qualification.
I thought so.
Jen, what is your go-to movie snack?
Anything with chocolate. Might sound kind of gross, but like you can get like little M&Ms and stuff and put it in popcorn, and hey, that is ideal.
That is quite a treat.
I thought so.
All right. What's the last movie you saw in the theater?
Oh boy. I think the last one that I saw was this is going back a long time now since, you know, coronavirus, but
right.
I believe the last one that we saw in theaters was probably the one night special Rush concert. My husband is a huge Rush fan. Nice. And they did a one night concert special, like documentary type deal. And we went to go see that, and it was very long, and I didn't quite get it since I'm not a big Rush fan, but my husband loved it. So I think that was the last one.
Yeah, it's funny. I think the last time that Rebecca and I actually went out and did something, we went to a Hurricanes game.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to be the same day that Neil Peart, the drummer for Rush, died.
Yeah.
And like every break and intermission and stuff, they just played Rush. Like, it was like a kind of a cool tribute. Like, they didn't say anything about it. They were just playing Rush all night.
Yeah, that was a rough day at our house because my husband started drumming, and he's been a drummer since he was 8 years old, and his biggest idol, you know, in the drumming world is Neil Peart. So that was a rough day at our house.
I would imagine so. Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you are a Step Brothers super fan.
I am.
What is it you love so much about the film?
Well, I think that the movie is just so utterly ridiculous, but at the same time, there's a lot of truth behind it. I mean, I have never been in a family where I have gotten a stepbrother or a stepsister, but I just think that the fact that there was two 40-year-old men just acting like I would imagine how, you know, a two 10-year-olds would act should they become stepbrothers, I think that it was just absolutely genius the way that they were, you know, able to act like they were 10 but still be 40 and slightly more vulgar. So I just, the ridiculous situations that they found themselves in, and just the fact that, you know, John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell are just the dream team, was enough to do it for me.
I would agree. They are quite the duo.
They are.
It is a very impressive performance, and it's not that easy to pull off. You know, everything isn't funny, let alone just straight up hilarious, rewatchable for more than a decade now.
Right.
But you never hear like people in comedies getting like best actor nominations or anything, or if they do, it's rare.
Right.
How old were you the first time you saw Step Brothers?
So it came out, I believe, in 2008, and I believe I saw it in 2008, so that would have made me 19 years old. And so it was like peak, like, you know, immaturity, you know, time frame for me where you're in college and you think you're an adult, but you're really not. And so, you know, you're just trying to figure yourself out at 19, and so you watch a lot of crazy stuff.
Definitely. I think when I was 19, the big comedy was Half-Baked.
I've definitely seen that, and it is crazy.
Absolutely. What would you say is the message of Step Brothers?
So I had to think about this a little bit, because on the surface, it doesn't really seem like there is a message, because it's a lot of just again, ridiculous situations that, you know, you would assume that, you know, little kids get into, except for the whole job interview thing.
Right.
But when you stop to think about it, I think towards the end, part of the, that the Catalina wine mixer, after they have all, you know, gone through the whole, you know, being immature and then starting to get, you know, quote unquote, real jobs, and, you know, the father sees how just completely boring and stale that his son and his stepson have gotten. And he says, he tells the story about how he was, you know, a late teenager, and he wanted to just go around being a dinosaur all the time. And his father says, you know, Robert, stop being a dinosaur. And
you know, I have a six-year-old and a four-year-old, and they've attempted to be dinosaurs, and I've never told them to stop it. And maybe it's because I've seen Step Brothers so much, I didn't want to scar them.
I mean, you saw what happened to him. He stops being a dinosaur, and he turns into a stuffy, boring, you know, doctor who doesn't have a lot of fun in his life. And so he tells his son and his stepson, hey, don't lose your dinosaur. And when you think about it, like, the quote is ridiculous, but when you think about it, it makes a whole lot of sense. You know, you obviously want to grow up and be a productive member of society, but you shouldn't lose those qualities that make you who you are. So, you know, you should obviously, you know, stop sleeping till noon if that's all you're going to do all day. But, you know, hey, if you're going to, you're going to get a job, you should make sure it's something you love to do, like they end up doing when they, you know, turn it into the karaoke business owners. Yeah, and, you know, yeah, I mean, hey, they took something that was probably a little crazy and they made it into something that is responsible, but they still get to have fun and they still get to, you know, live the life they want to live. And I think that that was, you know, a great thing to learn from a otherwise ridiculous movie.
Yeah, that's well said, Jen. It's important, responsibility, growing up, being a productive member of society, but you gotta find some passion somewhere. You gotta have a thing.
Absolutely. Even if it's being a dinosaur, but, you know, maybe be a dinosaur when you get home from work.
I wonder what happens if I walk downstairs in a little while and just start acting like a dinosaur, what Rebecca will do.
Well, she might not receive it as well as your two children might, but you never know.
You never know. I'll let you know how that goes.
Okay.
Okay, well, was there anything you didn't understand about Step Brothers?
I guess the one thing that was just crazy to me was, like, this kind of ties into something that I might change. The character Alice, who is Derek's wife, she is out of control. And she just, it's just so funny because she, you know, on the surface is, you know, a well put together, you know, wife, mother of, you know, the stereotypical American dream family, and, you know, she seems to have it all, but she's actually really crazy. And I mean, I guess I could understand that, but I don't know, she's my least favorite character in the movie because she's insane and over the top, and in an insane and over the top movie, I guess it makes sense, but she's still my least favorite character.
Wow, that's a hot take.
That
could prove to be quite controversial. Would you change anything about Step Brothers?
As a whole, I definitely wouldn't. I think that every character plays a important role in the storyline, and I think that it all ties together very well. I would love for it to be longer, and I would say that it would be very interesting to see if they put a sequel together. But unfortunately, sequels sometimes tend to not do so well. So maybe we should just keep it at the one movie. But the fact that it just ends and there's no more stepbrothers always makes me sad.
Hulk hands!
Yeah. Hey, they got Hulk hands, and they get, you know, the boat goes in the treehouse, and, you know, all their magazines and the Chewbacca masks. Turns out to be a very fitting ending, I think, but I would still love for there to be more.
I am in agreement with you. All right, Jen, you know, I gave you time to prepare for this, and I hate to do it. You get one quote, one favorite quote.
Okay. So, if I have to pick one quote, it would probably be, there's so much more room to do activities. But if I could pick an entire scene as my quote, it would be the scene where they're singing in the car and Derek almost drives them into oncoming traffic. And that whole song might not be a one-liner, but that's definitely my favorite part of the whole movie. I laugh every single time, and I've seen that part probably 100, 200 times, and it still gets me every time.
I would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, that's another good one. I mean, the movie is filled with just gold for one-liners. It's just, you can just quote it for days. And sometimes I do, you know.
You are definitely a super fan.
I am.
All right,
I'm proud of it.
Awesome. Well done, Jen. I appreciate you coming on, and best of luck in the movie battle.
Oh, thank you. I hope I can do Step Brothers proud.
I think you will.
Thank you.
Did Movie Battle just become our favorite podcast? Yup.
Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is making his second appearance, Jack Cornwall from Raleigh, North Carolina. Again, one of Sanderson's finest graduates. Also attended UNCW, was a member of the Chi Phi fraternity. Currently, he lives in Greensboro, North Carolina with wife Tiffany and his three daughters, Hannah, Brooke, and Madeline. He works in clinical research and is one of the stars of the Raw Quiz Show on YouTube.
Yes.
Jack,
happy to be back
to Movie Battle.
Happy to be back.
All right, yeah, we are glad to have you back. I think last time you were here, you said Chris Pratt plays you in the movie.
Yeah, probably. He's sarcastic enough to be me, I think.
Yeah, he might be able to pull it off.
Yeah, he can pull off just about anything, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jack, you are an Anchorman superfan.
Yeah, Anchorman's great.
What is it you love so much about the film?
I think it's just the sheer stupidity of most of it is what makes it so enjoyable, because it makes out news anchors to essentially be idiots, which is kind of funny just with everything going on now and people think that the news doesn't know what they're talking about. It kind of makes fun of the fact that none of them really understand what they're doing. They're just reading things off of a teleprompter. But I mean, my favorite stuff about the movie is just Ron Burgundy. I mean, there's so many lines from the movie that it's just insane of how ridiculous he sounds in the movie.
He is a legend.
Yeah, he is. Anchorman is the legend, Ron Burgundy.
So you're saying Anchorman was ahead of its time. It kind of was giving us a vision.
Yeah, it's giving us a vision of what everybody thinks is happening now. So it's just, I mean, and it obviously it's set back farther back to where local news was more of a thing, and right. It wasn't so much the national news cycle that we have now all over the place. It was like you listened to your local guy, and that was Ron Burgundy, and he was just the man. Like when those newscasters back then, they were the people that most people saw on TV every day. So,
oh yeah, I still remember Charlie Gatti on WRAL. Greg Fischel, Tom Suter.
Yeah, all of those guys.
Bob and Marta Layden. The whole crew
when we were growing up watching that for sports highlights and looking to see our Sanderson highlights when they would show up at games. So,
Football Friday. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Local news, I don't know if it is as big a deal so much now, except unless there's like snow or a hurricane.
Yeah. Nobody really cares as much anymore.
And then it's on like 24 hours a
day. Yeah.
After you get back from the grocery store, you put on the news.
Yeah. It's like now if it's snow or hurricanes, like when I lived in Wilmington, it's like they're cutting in on every single show for like 20 minutes to tell us about a hurricane that's moving like 2 miles an hour.
Right.
Oh.
Did you learn anything from Anchorman?
Learn anything other than a whole bunch of sarcastic meme-worthy lines to say to people. I mean, like there's so many memes from Anchorman. I mean, what was it? The smelly pirate hooker. Like the Sex Panther cologne.
Sex Panther. Yeah. I forgot about that. That's classic.
60% of the time it works every time. I mean, it's like when he meets her for the first time, he's like, I'm not sure how to say this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
That's the go-to.
I know. It is. It's just funny to watch, like, you know, and then just the cast in it. I mean, Steve Carell was the weatherman, and he was essentially mentally ill. I mean, he had some great lines, too, so.
Yeah, he might have been my favorite part of the
movie. I mean, he told him he loved Lamp.
That he did, yes.
Yeah, and like, because I watched it this morning, like, to rewatch it, and I'm just like, man, Steve Carell's character is great in this movie.
Oh. That is one of the perks of the Movie Battle podcast is for research, you have to watch the movies over and over.
I know. And it just reminds me how much, like, how many funny things were in Anchorman. But, I mean, the other thing I noticed the most from watching it again is how many cameos are in the movie. I mean, Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller's in it, Jack Black's in it. I mean, like, small parts, but they're all in the movie.
Yeah, the cast itself is grabbing.
Yeah.
Christina Applegate, I think she's been underrated her whole career.
She was fantastic in the movie.
She's an American treasure.
Paul Rudd is just, he can be anything in any movie. So, I like it. He was just fantastic. I love his character.
Yeah, Paul Rudd is great. Dave Koechner, yeah, everybody in there.
Yeah.
Phenomenal cast, phenomenal script, just the whole concept. It's a great film. It's a classic.
It is.
Was there anything you didn't understand about Anchorman?
No. I mean, it's one of those movies, it's like, you know, it's pretty simple to watch. You understand that they're kind of working in a newsroom, but I mean, in the 70s, early 80s, when news was there, it was like, you know, they're just kind of making up whatever's going on. I mean, there wasn't, depending on what's happening in the world, I mean, local news is local news. Like, right. You know, I mean, her first assignment was what? A cat fashion show. I mean, you know, Brian's at the zoo. They had the panda birth watch for like 78 days.
Like, right.
The last time they showed it when she was anchoring the news, it said day 78. Like, so that's like their main story every night is following a panda at the news, at the zoo.
Would you change anything about Anchorman?
I mean, honestly, no. I mean, there was, you know, I mean, every kind of Will Ferrell-ish movie like this, I mean, they have kind of some slow parts or like some parts that are just like they're trying to add in some story to it. But I mean, for me, it just kind of, it feels like the perfect length. Like if they had made it any longer, like Anchorman 2 is much longer than the first one. So it's like, I think it's like another half hour longer and they kind of go into a whole lot of, you know, just kind of drier parts of it. But
right.
I mean, I feel like the first Anchorman was perfect as far as length and just the constant hits of something you know, either ridiculous or funny happening.
Jack, I hate to do this to you.
Yep.
You get one, I don't even know if this is possible.
Yeah.
One quote from Anchorman. From Anchorman. I think you had to do this for Dazed and Confused too, so I'm I keep doing this to you.
One quote. Let's see. I mean, one of my favorites is, why don't you just go back to your home on Whore Island? Like, that whole exchange between the two of them in the office is just so funny. And then it breaks into a brawl, which makes it even more funny that she is, like, literally attacking him and they're fighting each other. She hits him in the face with a typewriter. Like,
I imagine you'd get sent to HR.
Yeah. I mean, and then she pulls out the mace, and then he ends up macing himself instead of her. Like, it's just, the whole thing is ridiculous, but that one's one of my favorites just because it's, you know, the super meme worthy all the time.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, Jack, thank you so much, and best of luck to you in the movie battle.
Yeah. Can't wait.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, party people, the moment you've all been waiting for. Representing Step Brothers, Jen Castellano. Jen, talk to me.
So, I don't even really know where to begin. I mean, Step Brothers is just an American classic, and anyone who doesn't agree with me, I mean, that's fine, but you're wrong. I mean, it's just one joke from beginning to end, and as we've discussed earlier, I mean, there is a extremely important message to be learned in Step Brothers, even though it just seems like it's one ridiculous situation after another after another. And that's probably one of the reasons why I really love it, is that it's just hilarity and craziness from beginning to end. And, you know, what other movie do you know of that has two 40-year-olds acting like 10-year-olds the entire time? I mean, it's just comedic gold, what can I say?
Jack, Anchorman?
Yeah, I mean, I get it with Step Brothers, but, you know, in Anchorman, you have four 40-year-old men acting like 10-year-olds for the whole movie.
I mean, that's true.
And I guess a lot of it for me with Anchorman is just, who doesn't know who Ron Burgundy is? Like, everybody knows who Ron Burgundy is. You say Brendan Huff, nobody knows what movie that's from.
I do.
Well, yes, you do, because you love it. But you say Ron Burgundy, even people that haven't seen Anchorman know who that is. And I mean, just with the whole movie, it's like, I get it. Step Brothers is hilarious. I love that movie too. But with Anchorman, the comedy for me comes from the fact that all of them actually believe they're doing a good job. Like, they're all working in the news and actually believe they're doing something well when they're not.
I mean, that could be said for, you know, very, very many situations in the real world.
Yes.
People at their actual jobs, so.
It's true.
It's very relatable.
It is. And I mean, just, like, there's plenty of lines in Step Brothers that come to mind, but, I mean, with Anchorman, it's Ron Burgundy just says so many ridiculously dumb things and believes that he is right all the time. I mean, what was it called? When they talk about diversity in their meeting to bring in Veronica Cornerstone. And he said, well, I believe diversity is a Civil War time ship that sank off the coast of wherever. And it's like, no, that's wrong. And he was like, well, we'll just agree to disagree. But yeah.
So I'll give you the fact that Steve Carell and Will Ferrell are in this movie, and my other favorite comedy gold standard is The Office, and
yes,
they're in that show together for a brief period of time.
Right.
So I do love me some Steve Carell. He is a national treasure.
Yes. Brick is great.
So I will give you that. But I mean, with my boy John C. Reilly, like, he could do anything. He was in the movie Chicago, where he is a singer, and you know, then they bring that back in Step Brothers, where he is, you know, a drummer. So
it's true. You know, it's true.
He has some musical talent.
But I mean,
John C. Reilly is in both, obviously, Talladega Nights, but he's also in Days of Thunder. So
right.
He is the go-to NASCAR film.
He is. And I'll give you John C. Reilly, but I mean, you're forgetting Paul Rudd. He is like the chameleon of Hollywood and can play any role for any movie. I mean, he's Ant-Man on top of, and it doesn't look like he's aged in 15 years. Like, Paul Rudd, all he had to do was cut his hair and shave his mustache, and he's Ant-Man. On top of the other cameos you have from Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, the other Wilson brother that's not Owen Wilson. I forget his first name.
Luke Wilson.
Tim Robbins is in the movie. I mean, they're all anchors from the other stations when they have the brawl out between the warehouses. It's like they all have these the most ridiculous weapons to fight with. Like, Will Ferrell has a post from a bed, like, stuck in his jacket somehow, that he pulls out to get in a fight with.
I believe he hit somebody with a bicycle in
Step
Brothers.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he has a great arsenal of weapons in Step Brothers as well, and they get pushed down the stairs and break the drywall.
Yeah, and, it's true.
I mean, that is a very important scene, you know, and he goes in and plays the drums and chips the drumstick.
Yes.
And, you know, gets John C. Reilly's head pushed into the gong. I mean, he uses an entire drum set at one point.
It's true.
You know, he I guess no matter what movie he's in, he just finds whatever, you know, ridiculous item you could think of to use as a weapon.
It's true.
I think that's one of his strong points as an actor.
Yeah, and he knocked Jack Black off of a motorcycle in Anchorman with a burrito. Like,
that takes talent.
And then he proceeded to kick Baxter off the bridge. Like Jack Black's, like, 5-second cameo in the movie.
It seems like one thing we can definitely agree on is that Will Ferrell he's a master.
Well, he can do so many different things. Like, this the way in Anchorman where he is essentially playing an idiot, but believes that everything he's doing is serious and real. And then you take it to the Step Brothers to where I don't think he really believes he's doing anything real. They're just ridiculous things that they're doing.
Yes, absolutely. And he plays an elf.
Yes.
In the movie Elf. So he is very, very versatile.
It's true.
So we can't forget that.
That is a lot of range.
I mean, really, what else could we possibly, you know, expect from one person?
Yeah. Will Ferrell has a ridiculous range of... And it doesn't always have to be comedy. He can actually be kind of serious in some roles if he wanted to be.
He can. And apparently he knows how to sing opera.
Yeah.
Which he does in one of the very last scenes at the Catalina Wine Mixer.
Catalina Wine Mixer. I knew you were going to bring that up.
Who would have thought that Will Ferrell could sing like that? I mean, I personally didn't know. I mean, he does say that he's the songbird of our generation.
Yeah.
So... I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, we can all agree that Will Ferrell is one of the greatest when it comes to comedic films. I mean,
he really is.
He has so much range of characters, and just, I mean, even from, you can go back farther to old school, like he's ridiculous in that movie. And Step Brothers seems like a step forward from Old School, to where, you know, his character in Old School is still living with his parents. And that's, it, to me, that seems like a logical jump. But then you go to something like Anchorman, and he's created this entire character that he just stays in for the whole movie. So just watching him on screen in any movie is great. But just the range of characters that he can create is definitely fantastic.
I'm glad you mentioned Old School, because Old School does not get the props it deserves as one of the best comedies of the 2000s.
It really doesn't. I mean, you know, and it's kind of the same cast, which is funny, because you have Vince Vaughn that's in that, you know. And I mean, with Old School, the best part was that Jeremy Piven is the dean of the school when he did a movie called PCU, where he was exactly what the guys in Old School were doing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, guys, we could talk all day about these two movies and just have a quote fest.
We could.
A quote fest.
Like a quote palooza, if you will.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, you only got one quote in your portions before.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try this. Let's kind of have a quote off.
A quote off.
You
know, yeah, they have all the versus battles that, you know, have been hot during the quarantine. Let's have a quote battle here.
Be like, don't be offended by any of my quotes, Jen, because they're not directed at you.
Let's keep them clean. Let's keep them clean. But let's throw some quotes out there, Jen.
All right. Well, obviously, the first one that comes to mind is, did we just become best friends?
Yup. Well, for me, the first one that comes, because it's one of the first ones in the movie, is, you don't know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal.
Hey, that's a good one, because, you know, people say that all day, every day.
Yeah, they do.
Still, however many years later.
I'm so, kind of a big deal.
I mean, that was like, that's like on t-shirts
and
stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is a good one. One of my next favorites is, without any context, where they just run into their parents' room, and once again, Will Ferrell says, "Mom, go back," and then, you know,
yeah, the whole just, right before the bunk beds. That was a great
yes.
one.
Yes. Oh, man. Don't even get started.
Yeah. For me, the next one is not even a Will Ferrell one, but it's Paul Rudd when he's talking about his colognes. And it says it's Sex Panther. I mean, like 60% of the time, it works every time.
Man, my brain is being flooded with quotes right now. I'm trying to...
I know.
All right. Let's each get one more classic quote. And then we'll get to our final words.
Okay. How about when they're all sitting around the dining room table for the first night, and, you know, we just are talking about fancy sauce, and we have, I just had it too.
You're talking about the dinner scene, the first night they're together, they're eating the nuggets or whatever.
Yeah, they're eating the nuggets. And then they're trading insults at each other. And then John C. Reilly says, "That's so funny. The last time I heard that one, I fell off my dinosaur."
That is a good one.
A good one.
I mean,
they're all good.
Yeah. For me, there's two that come to mind, because it's right in the office brawl, but they're not like the nicest things to say. Like, I mean, because he tells her that she's a smelly pirate hooker.
I mean, that's something that only the comedic genius of Will Ferrell could come up with.
And then,
I mean,
and then he follows it up with, "Why don't you just go back to your home on Whore Island?" Oh, and then she insults his hair, and then they get in a fight, and she hits him with a typewriter in the face.
I mean, what? I would have done the exact same thing.
I know.
Nice. Very nice. I see what you did there, Jen.
Oh, yeah. You know, and if I could have one more, it would probably be the whole scene where they're interviewing with Pam.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, "Hello, Miss Lady." And, you know, then they go through a million different ways of spelling Pam. It's like calm.
It is.
There's a D on the end. There's no D. I mean, that whole scene is just filled with
yeah, that one's filled with different quotes.
Great. My goodness.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Well, I have to tell you, this one is too close for me to call. I think we might have to let the internet decide this one.
The internet is great for things like that.
It is.
Absolutely.
You know, they love polls.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Makes people feel powerful to vote for things.
Yeah. Like like Anchorman, because they made a second one.
You know, Kevin and I talked about that earlier. I mean, the one downfall of Step Brothers is that there was not another one.
Yeah. A follow-up would have been nice.
It would have been nice. He did one for Anchorman, so we definitely need to have a follow-up for Step Brothers.
Yeah.
I would be in agreement with that. I think I would go see that.
I would.
Yeah. No, Jen, really?
Shocking, I know.
Yeah, I know.
Shocking, nice. All right. Let's get our final words in here. Jen?
How can I just sum up, an hour and 45 minutes of gold in just final words? But, you know, hey, it's a great movie. It's got, you know, it's quotable. It's, you remember it for years and years and years, and you can watch it over and over and over again without getting sick of it. At least I can. Some people, like my husband, might not agree with me. But, you know, it's a fantastic movie with just hilarity and silliness and a deep down, a good message that, you know, hey, don't lose your dinosaur. And that's something we can all relate to.
Well done, Jen.
Well, wow.
Jack, that's going to be tough to follow.
It is. Well, I mean, honestly, with Anchorman, it's an hour and 37 minutes of just ridiculousness. I mean, and it also, it's just watching people that believe they're doing a good job and watching them just fail miserably at things is just hilarious. The cast, Will Ferrell, Paul Rudd, Steve Carell, all the people that are in the movie are just hilarious all the way through. And I mean, honestly, it's Ron effing Burgundy. Everybody knows who that is. I mean, it's just Ron Burgundy.
He's kind of a big deal.
He is. You know, in San Diego.
All right. Well, on that note, I'd like to thank both of you for joining us on Movie Battle. Excellent performances all around. Jen, Jack, y'all will be back anytime.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I will talk to y'all later.
All right.
You will.
Thank you for listening to Movie Battle. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe and review. If you would like to support or leave a voice message, please go to our homepage. You can follow Movie Battle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for coming correct.